Here, I'm feeling like I'm sitting in a bucket down here with this chair. Paul got the big chair that sits
elevated,
up.
Yeah.
Well, it feels good, doesn't it? You can. I love seeing over the steering wheel. Now all I see is the top of Rufus's head.
Paul's got the high chair.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay. Well, we're all settled in here, I think. Rufus, what do you got, your nabs over there?
Got my nabs.
Okay.
Got...
Going through your lawyerly bag.
Yeah, and it says here that it's Saturday the 4th. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I can't believe it's already the 4th.
Is that according to your...
According to Cliff Joyner.
Cliff Joyner's book. Okay. Boy, Cliff knows everything.
Yeah.
That's why they call him Cliff Notes.
Yeah. But, I met that man one time, by the way.
Did you?
And I said, you have saved my life so many times. It was a ball game in Nebraska, and Cliff Notes guy was there.
And Joel is bringing in
and
another
buffet, Warren Buffett. And you talk about two people that I admired, the man that did the Cliff Notes and got me through college, and Warren Buffett. At a Nebraska ball game.
Wow.
So what a day that was.
That's, you met, wow.
I said,
I'm impressed.
Cliff, whatever your name is, you have saved me many a time with your outlines. Did you have Cliff Notes when you went to state?
I did.
So,
Bill?
I did. I had them in high school.
Oh, my gosh.
So you got your law degree with
Now,
with
law degree,
it
didn't work in law school, Paul.
Okay.
It was only undergrad.
That my daughter slept in classrooms when she was in law school. I mean, it just, it'll, I have a cousin, Steve Height, who is one of the smartest people I know. He went to Duke, went to Carolina, went to law school at Carolina. And he said he just drifted through school without studying until he got to law school. He said it was a terrible shock on the system.
Well, boy, I don't know how you do that, how you drift through law school. He must have been
brilliant. He didn't. He said until he got to law school, he did.
Oh, okay.
At Duke and Carolina.
I did not drift through agriculture school, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I had to work for that.
Well, it shows.
Well, you're very kind.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, you want to hear Cliff today? Cliff said...
Cliff Notes or Cliff Joyner.
The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. Hmm. Now, Eleanor Roosevelt really said that, but it's in the Cliff book.
Yeah.
Who was that that said that?
Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor, FDR's wife.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Eleanor
Roosevelt. Say that again, Ruth.
All right. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
That's powerful.
That's
very right.
Powerful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how I've gotten through 50 years here.
Yeah.
I believed in my dreams. So, yeah. You know, it's, and 40 years on this show, this basically sometime near the end of the month of January, February. Now, we're going to, Phil, I understand that, and I thank you for doing this.
You understand correctly.
Because we, the 30th anniversary we did in the studio, and that was great, but we, it was
kind
of hard to, and it was hard to shuffle people. Yeah. In and out of the building, and we couldn't include, I mean, if anybody from the public wants to join us out at Campbell Road Nursery.
Wonderful.
And February 2nd? No, that's February 1st.
It's the first.
Chitlin Club is February 2nd.
Uh-oh. So, yes, and I talked with Sharon yesterday that does all the goodies for our Christmas get-together.
Food truck.
Nope. Sharon is the one that used to do Dinner Savvy that prepared the meals. Sharon's the one that does the meatballs and the chicken,
the
buffalo chicken dip, and the ham and cheese roll. We're gonna have something around 11 o'clock. So we'll have the apple fritters early with coffee, and then we'll have something else around 11.
And I'm going to extend an invitation to everybody I can contact who has hosted the show with me, like Paul. Paul, February 1st.
Okay.
If you can make it down. Now, this is in addition to your regular duties on the show now. That doesn't supercede anything.
So I'll get my usual bonus.
If you want to, yes, right. If you want to come.
I'd be delighted.
That will be our celebration of the 40th anniversary.
I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
No, there's no way.
Well, you were here for the 30th, so.
Called in for the 30th.
Yeah. This is about, you can do that if you want to. 25 years. I think you've been on the show about 25 years.
July 29th of this year. Is
25 years.
Is me and Mike's 25th anniversary.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And Phil, when did we start doing?
I do not remember for sure. That's terrible.
It was sometime of the teens.
Yeah, it was early teens.
I don't remember either. Somewhere around 16 years for me.
Yeah. Well, I think it was around 06, as I recall. I know you were here in 07. I'm positive about that. But so I'm sure that you started in 06, and so that's
I'll have to talk with Pat, because she's
she's
remembers
the one who
she's the one
initiated
that got that going.
This.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of Phil's employees encouraged her to advertise with the Weekend Gardener, and I think it's worked out pretty well.
It's worked out real well. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate all that.
You've certainly worked out well for us.
Well, I appreciate
being
it.
Being on the show,
By the way, I am wearing a Steve Ashworth sweater, and he told me about a week ago, he said, I have been so pleased with working with the folks at WPTF. He said, I'm doing a new package.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's great.
That goes to show you that we have a great listenership and that people pay attention.
We do. We do. Mm-hmm. We, there are probably, during the show, probably 20,000 people or so listening.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, and Steve's all about community. I mean, Ashworth has been there so long.
Ashworth...
They're about community.
Absolutely. Old Wake County, don't they?
You know, yeah. I mean, it's... I remember them when I was back in high school.
Yeah, I mean, they're some industrious, hardworking, smart people, the Ashworths.
And the employees there, I'll bet an average of about 20 years apiece that have been there.
Yeah.
They can go in there and they know who you are.
Right.
What you want.
Well, for one thing, they love Fuquay Varina, which is a wonderful town and wonderful, beautiful part of the county. And, and the Ashworths, I'm sure, have been really good to them over the years, so that's wonderful to hear. Yeah, this is going to be my 40th anniversary of this show, or actually the 80th, I suppose, with John. I don't know exactly what month he started in 1945, but it's generally the 80th anniversary of this Tar Heel Weekend Gardener thing, and my 50th anniversary means a lot to me. Coming up 25th of April, and then June 14th is my 50th wedding anniversary to Sweet Melissa.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
I mean, oh, yes, I hope.
She hadn't left me yet, so hopefully she won't leave me before that, because we're supposed to go on a cruise. I think we'll be back. No, maybe. No, we'll. That's after the 14th. Yeah. Okay. We won't be on the cruise yet. All right. 919-860-9783. 919-860-WPTF. And Paul, you're. Do we need to take a break? Okay, I just hear music in my ears. I was hoping that I was not hearing things.
No, you weren't.
Okay, did everybody hear that music? All right, that's good. Josh is playing with our minds.
Yes, he is.
Let's see. Joel, I'm thinking about my boss. Josh plays with our minds, too. So does Big Daddy. All right, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. As my original question was going to be, what have you been up to, sir, retired?
Oh, I've been battling a beaver, actually.
You know, when we had lunch in October or whenever it was, you and Johnny and I guess it was October or September or somewhere, and you were talking about beavers then.
Yeah. Well, we have them on our property, and, you know, they've created this beautiful marshy area with ducks and herons and, you know, we've even seen otters out there.
Otters, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, not very often, you know, just very rarely.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. They're fun.
Which body of water is this?
It's just the creek that runs through our property. Our creek feeds into Fishing Creek, which feeds into the Tar River.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but they've started another dam where I don't want it, and I keep tearing it out, and they keep rebuilding it. And
yeah.
You tear it out and piece by piece?
Yeah, and they even like use the same, like I'll pull out a stick and they'll put it back.
That's what they do.
Yeah, it's pretty comical.
You just enjoy it, don't you? You want them around to give you something to talk about in retirement.
Beavers are good, but...
They're persistent. They're persistent.
Do you have them on your property, too?
We don't. They're down... they were down on Marty and Kirk's property.
Okay.
And so they dammed up a place so the ducks and things like that could come in.
Yeah.
Grayson was happy for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could go.
Rufus, do you have any beavers down in the bog?
Not that I know of. groundhog, fox, and let's see, what else? Groundhog,
deer.
Fox. Oh, deer.
Certainly deer. Maybe probably coyote.
Oh, goodness,
too.
Yes.
And, you know, we talk a lot about wildlife issues on the show related to gardening, deer and moles and voles and snakes and things like that. And, you know, one resource that I actually tapped into with this issue that I'm having with the beavers is the Wildlife Resources Commission has a helpline, and you can call. It's a number. It's posted on their website, and you can speak to a wildlife biologist that like has all the answers. It's just a great resource.
Oh, wow.
As well as your extension agent. You know, your extension agent has a lot of resources as well, but like the real wildlife experts, the Wildlife Resources Commission helpline.
What do you say, hit him in the head with a sledgehammer?
No, I don't think we could even talk about that.
No. Squirrels, oh gosh, squirrels. Oh.
Well,
yeah, everybody's got their place.
Any of those things. If it's a furry, four-legged creature, Wildlife Resources Commission, they are the experts. I mean, they have people that are experts on birds. Well, they're not even four-legged birds and reptiles and the whole nine yards.
How about that? Yeah. That's a regular old hotline. You talk to a real person, huh?
Exactly.
That's
good.
Nice.
And they're so friendly and helpful.
I'm sure they are.
And knowledgeable.
When you talk with someone, you can ask questions.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
Brings back great memories. My father was a wildlife protector for 28 years.
Wow.
Shaped a lot of how I am today.
That's great.
I'm very proud of him.
Well, you should be. Should be proud of your whole family. We'll be back. I'm not sure what we did during the first 20 minutes, but we did something. All right, we're back on WPTF with Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Phil Campbell and Paul McKenzie. And Paul is retired, but he was extension agent in Vance and Warren counties. And you were actually, for a while, the chair, they used to call it the chairman. The director.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah, of the...
But
yeah.
You still held that title. What is it? Is it the director, or what was it called?
Yeah, it's the county extension director.
Yeah, it used to be called chairman.
Right.
But kind of a fancy title.
Yeah.
For a lot of hard work, I'm sure.
Yeah.
A lot of paperwork. Plus, yes. you have to do your other duties, too, don't you?
Right, right.
So you... Yeah, that's a handful. Well, at least you had the title. For a while, I mean, to be asked to do something like that's a pretty big deal.
You made up a number of titles for me over the years.
Well, I didn't make them up.
You earned them.
The only one that doesn't really that you didn't hold a office for is commissioner. I just have always liked the title of commissioner, so I like calling Rufus commissioner once in a while. Hmm. But yeah. I mean, you earned general and Mr. Secretary and all that. Squire, you are squire of your land out there.
Squire of Watauga County. Notice how I said that, Watauga.
Yeah.
And people went down to work in Tenor, not Lenore. Tenor. Where you work, I work at the furniture plant down in Tenor.
They didn't speak English up there, did you? Y'all were way up too high.
Yeah. That's things right. are coming along well, though. I'm glad to see our governor out yesterday going back to the mountains. Mm-hmm. First off the bat.
Yeah, well, they still need help. They still need a lot of help. We can't forget them.
That's right.
And it's cold. That's the first thing I thought about was how cold it is up there, and people still in tents. Mm. Part of the reason some are still in tents are that they don't want to move from their property.
I can understand
and
that.
Their houses, absolutely. What's left of some of their houses, they just want to, you know,
and their belongings.
Guard them.
There's some
belongings. So they're using tents, and they got to be the hardiest people in the world.
Yeah. Our friend Craig Lubehead made out on this disaster.
We talked to him. We had him on the show here sometime. Recently.
It was on the last time I was on.
Yeah.
Or not last time, but one time when we were on.
Yeah.
And he was, I think he did all right.
Yeah, I think they are starting to recover the area. Yeah. That area is starting to recover. Melissa and I went to Asheville, and you could certainly see the damage in Swannanoa particularly, before Black Mountain area, before you get to Asheville. We didn't really go down to the Arts District, but the Biltmore property was certainly affected, and... that Biltmore Village area,
that was
which is
like
very
a little,
historic.
Well, yeah, it was like a little winter wonderland down there at Christmas.
A lot of that was destroyed.
Very sad.
Well, I was really happy that they were making efforts to rebuild the Flowering Bridge in Chimney Rock.
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of a neat place. And you know, it gives me hope that Chimney Rock will be back in business.
Well, the town, of course, the rock's still there.
That was such a beautiful place, and I'm sure, you know, they're making good progress.
Yeah,
there.
It's going to take time though.
Yeah.
All right. So Phil, pansies, how are they holding up this morning in 20 some degree weather?
Well, the plants themselves are probably fine. You might want to check. Well, we've got some rain coming in, they say, so. The plants themselves are fine. You just need to put some blood meal or something like that on them now to give them a little something to eat. And then it would help to do that today with the rain coming, and that would help to get it into the soil.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, if they have deadheads on them or anything or just stems, it would help to clean those up down to the plant. Just to clean them up, and I know it's going to be a cold week this coming up week. But pansies are pretty resilient. I mean, and even snaps. If your snaps look bad, don't worry about it. They'll come back out. Just try to keep the dead leaves or the yellowish leaves off, and give them some food.
And tell us how to deadhead pansies properly.
Well, You need to take like you're picking turnip greens, if you've ever done that. You need to go down to the bottom of the stem, right at the head of like the where the plant
Got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, down to the, just to go all the way to the stem, take that whole stem off, and then it'll start to come back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she does it with her fingers and thumb very well.
Yes.
I'm lazy. I use clippers.
Yeah.
You can. You, just pinch it off. Use clipper. Yeah. Paint it.
Just paint it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Well, we'll be back and talk more about pansies and other plants coming up here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Brother Rufus and Phil Campbell and Paul McKenzie here. We've been talking about beaver dams and pansies and Lord knows what else. But was there something you wanted to finish about pansies, care of pansies?
Well, nothing too much except that you should... You should make sure when you plant your pansies, and if you're going to plant some, we're going to have a new crop. And if you plant your pansies, it's really important to have your bed mounded. I have seen so many beds. People have come by, and a lot of my landscapers have come by, and they've got problems with their pansies dying.
Drown them, right? They drown them.
Yeah, well, what they do, they don't mound their beds, and so what happens is they're sitting in a puddle of water if it rains for an extended period of time, and they're not going to make it. They have to be able to dry out. So probably I'd say mound your beds at least a foot or so. And then gradually let it come down.
Yeah, I've seen some
like
of the
like a pitcher's
some
mound.
Of the beds in the areas like Highwoods, for instance, they're planted correctly.
Exactly, and that's why they're doing well.
That's why they look so good.
Exactly,
and people need to monitor soil moisture even through the winter.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's very important.
You don't think about it during the winter, but you got to pay attention especially for something like a pansy.
It can be really wet. I mean, it seems like it's wet all the time during the winter, especially when it's cold. But it can get really dry too.
Right. Exactly.
It's kind of like us. You know, we don't think about drinking that much water during the winter. Mm-hmm. And I went to the sinus doctor this week, and he's like, you have to drink more water. You have to remember to drink it in the wintertime because, we just don't think about it.
Yeah.
And you don't think about that your flowers need water.
You always send some dianthus. Now, they need deadheading too, right?
Yes. And right now, dianthus could even stand to take clippers and maybe cut them back a little bit and let them come out when it warms up. And snaps could maybe do that. I haven't really looked at the snaps that we've got at the nursery look fine right now.
Yeah, mine are really tall and not wilted down by the cold.
Ours, the ones at the nursery have been through 19 degrees. I know, so hopefully they're gonna make it pretty good. One thing I was thinking about last night. I don't mean to shift gears, but I was thinking about amaryllis last night. I don't know why.
Well, because we've seen so much of amaryllis during the Christmas season.
And people are probably wondering what they should do with one right now.
My mother-in-law planted them.
Yes.
In the yard, and they would come back up.
You can do that when it warms up. But right now, what you need to do is go ahead, make sure you cut your flower stalk down to where the foliage starts or where it comes out of where the foliage comes out. And cut that flower stalk off, and then just let it kind of be. You don't have to do a lot to it. And then when it warms up, put it outside, and, man, it'll bloom this summer like crazy.
Do we need to put it, even though it's cut down to the nub, do we need to put it in the sun in a room?
I would put it. It's okay to have it in a lighter place, yes. I'm sure that the bulb, that foliage that's left and the bulb,
that's why we leave the bulbs that are planted like daffodils and so forth. We leave the leaves on, even though they don't look good.
And when you say put it outside, you mean put it in the ground, right?
Yes. I take it out of the pot, plant it in the ground.
How
I've
deep?
Got one probably no more than 3 or 4 inches.
Well, you want the top of the bulb touching the level of the ground.
Yeah, but, you the bulb's pretty big, so it – Probably need to dig a hole about 3 or 4 inches deep, something like that.
You just borrow Rufus's auger.
There you go.
Electric auger.
Boy, I tell you what, that thing is something else.
And who's that made by?
Well, can't even remember the brand. I got it at Agro Supply.
Uh-huh.
It's got a battery to it. And
is it rechargeable?
Oh, yes, sir. Uh-huh. I'm converting all my equipment now at the place to rechargeable battery stuff because it's just it's much lighter.
Yeah. Well, and it, you know, it doesn't, I mean, I hate to bring out weather stuff in here, but it doesn't pollute the,
yeah.
You know.
I don't know what we're going to do with all those batteries, but.
Yeah, I know. What are we going to do with the batteries?
That's another problem, but yeah, you're right. And well, they aren't as loud.
Right, right.
Well, everybody in my neighborhood has those blowers, those steel blowers with the backpacks on them, whether they know how to use them or not.
They make some noise.
Yeah. Man, they are. Yeah, they are.
Well, I got
but
battery,
they do the job.
Battery pack blower, battery pack drill bit, and battery pack auger.
Yeah,
they're so much quieter. And you know the thing with you talk about what are we going to do with all the batteries when they wear out? Well, one mitigation is read your owner's manual and find out what you need to do to prolong the life of that battery.
That's true. Because batteries are expensive, too.
Charging it correctly and keeping it at the right level when it's in storage, that's what's going to prolong the life of that battery.
Right.
So check your owner's manual for that information.
Right. Do you have any information on how we should handle that?
I think it says when you're putting in storage, it should be at about 50-60% most of them. But, you know, again, check your owner's manual.
Well, I usually run mine out. I mean, they just stop. I'm out blowing or something like that, and they just stop, and I immediately recharge them. I have always have a backup.
Yeah, but if they're going to be in storage for a while, I think you want it at about 50-60%.
You know, I just mine are not in – I'm using mine.
Yeah.
My stuff, what I have.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a break and think about Amaryllis. And
batteries.
Who knows what else coming up on the Weekend Gardener. It's 8:41. All righty. We're back on WPTF's Weekend Gardener. And so we start our 40th year on this show. 80th year, if you will. John's looking down on John Harris looking down on us. I hope he is happy with the way the show's gone. I don't know that he listened that much. We did have him on when he was 95 years old, I believe. And we were off the air, and John said, don't ask me anything about gardening. He was just kidding, of course. But he didn't quite make it to 100. His you were talking about pacemakers and stuff off the air, Phil. John said that the doctor said if he lived to 100, he'd give him a new pacemaker free.
All right.
didn't quite make it. He was 99 yeah. when he passed away. But, man, you talking about making a difference in people's lives, not only through the Tar Heel Gardener, which is basically the first name for this show for 40 years, 45 to 85. But he taught a lot of students. He was a professor emeritus at NC State University. He was also an extension agent. When my father-in-law came back from the war, he was an extension agent in Guilford County, and he worked with John Harris. Mm-hmm. So they were close friends. And then Mr. Reeves, who had an engineering degree from State, ag engineering degree, went into the farming business. Mm. So we salute the extension agents. They're some hardworking folks and make such a difference and have on this show. I mean, this is the show was started by a former extension agent and extension professor. So we've tried to keep that up. We've had some really good ones like Paul.
Often sometimes says, okay, can you remember in your world who were the most influential people on you? And you go, your parents. And Mr. Ellie Tuckweiler was the extension agent in Boone.
Mm-hmm.
And he specialized in livestock and was just such a smart man. I remember he had quite an influence on me when I thought I was going to stay in agriculture. And then got all messed up when I went down to Chapel Hill one weekend. I'm not going to say how I got messed up, but I learned a lot from Mr. L.E. Tuckweiler, and Mr. Bob Shipley was another extension agent over in Cove Creek area that was hard hit by the
landslides. Landslides and all kinds of stuff over there.
And I have a very generous friend, Mr. Tom Worth, who has got a little organization in Wake County. He called me and he said, I'd like to help out some people in Western North Carolina. Can you give me some directions? Well, I started to call Phil because I know how much she's done for folks over in Ashe County. Then I thought of, they lost their Western library, just washed away at Cove Creek, North Carolina. And I said, well, Tom, would you like to help rebuild a library?
Yeah.
And he did that very thing.
Is Cove Creek in Ashe County?
No, Cove Creek is on close to the Tennessee border.
Okay.
Western North Watauga County.
Well, see, Ashe County lost theirs too. The one at the community college.
Yeah.
They lost their total library.
Terrible.
Lost everything.
And my grandsons just adore going. They just love going to the library.
Yeah. Well, this was a community center too. Now I know that the $10,000 grant is not going to do something, but it's a start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was very generous of Mr. Tom Worth, a noted attorney here in Wake County, has a little, let's use this word, eleemosynary institution. Now, if you hired me to be a lawyer and draw up a paper and I use that word eleemosynary, I would charge you at least $400 for using that word.
Well, how much would you charge us to tell us what it means?
Well, what it means is of a charitable nature.
Eleemosynary.
Phil Campbell is an eleemosynary institution.
I've said that many times about
don't
that.
Don't charge me $400.
I've heard people call her that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Senator Irvin used to use that word in the hearings for Watergate. And, of course, it would be a flood of people saying, what in the world are you talking about?
Oh, my.
And he would pronounce it in a different way. And so I remember we had hundreds of people that wrote and said, what kind of word is that and what foreign language is that? Well, it's just a good legal term, eleemosynary. Eleemosynary.
Starts with two E's?
Two E's.
Oh. Well, then you're in trouble right there.
Yeah.
Start a word with two E's.
It's like an eel.
Yeah, eel. Now, somebody's going to correct me on that spelling, I'm sure, out there in Radio Land.
Well, I don't know. I think there are a lot of people in shock right now.
It's still close.
Still trying to figure out what eleemosynary are trying to pronounce it.
Oh, my. Well, you learn something every day.
I think, Rufus, you should share a new word with us each week.
There you go.
Oh, my.
Eleemosynary is our word of the day. I'm going to see if I can use that in a sentence.
I bet you Richard will come up with something on that.
Well, I'm sure.
You know Richard, the intellect that he has. He'll look into that word and probably call us Richard Novak. Mm. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm.
I apologize for the ambient noises. We've got coughers.
Sorry.
I'm constantly clearing my throat.
Yeah.
So just forgive us. Just forgive us, yeah.
It's the weather.
It's like that. We aren't drinking enough water, are we,
That's
Phil?
Right. No. I'm trying.
All right. It's good for the skin and everything.
Yep.
All right. So what else should we be doing in the landscape right now? Is it time to prune? It's not time to prune fruit trees yet, is it?
It's getting close.
Close to grapevines.
Yeah. We probably wouldn't hesitate to start with grapevines. But it's getting pretty close. Folks need to start thinking about it.
Boy, that's a real art.
Yeah.
If you look at the trees, if you don't.
It is.
Go by the McKimmon Center. And I have no idea. I'd like to talk to somebody while they planted all those crabapple trees out there. But they have literally a grove of crabapple trees.
Yeah, I've always wondered about
beautiful.
That too, Mike.
Yeah. They're really beautiful, but I'm not sure. Do you have any idea why they've done that? The McKimmon Center on Western Boulevard?
I think it's just aesthetics, right?
Yeah,
they're a nice flowering
tree. Just for the flowering tree.
Yeah, but they. There's got to be some other reason. I don't know if they. I'm sure they are producing. But they've lasted so long.
I mean, they have.
That's
for
incredible.
Sure.
I'd like to know why, because crabapples usually don't last that long in the landscape.
By the way, Johnny's got a blueberry workshop coming up. I might mention after the break. Give a plug for that.
All right.
February 1st.
Old Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny Coley, of course, was one of the great extension agents who's on this show, and he is a really good one, and he hasn't been an extension agent that many years.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. He's a natural.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break and come back and talk to Paul, and we'll figure out how to use Elia Mazenary in a sentence today.
I
want everybody to try to
do it.
You
just did, Mike.
Well, I'm fairly charitable. We'll be back.